So welcome to this week's edition of Blues Talk, where I'm with Dave again, and we're going to look back at our game against Samoa, look forward to the match, two matches of the weekend, the All Blacks and the Dragons for Leinster. So Dave, disappointing performance on last Saturday night in the Aviva?
Yeah, it was just, well, the conditions didn't help. I mean, they weren't conducive to good rugby, but I don't know, there was a sterility about the performance. There was no creativity, there was no imagination. Of course, it was very hard to, because we weren't generating quick ball. It was the same problems. It was kind of the same problems we had against South Africa.
It's just the same.
Yeah. And it's just that Samoa weren't as good as South Africa and weren't as able to take advantage, although they nearly did.
Mm. But I thought that none of the fringe players put their hands up to, you know, to stake a claim for the starting berth against the All Blacks. You know, I thought there was a few guys had an opportunity too, and they didn't do it. As Sean O'Brien, I thought, you know, had a poor game by his standards this season. The only one that I thought had, you know, showed any type of form that he'd shown for his club was Devon Toner. I thought he made a fine debut.
Yeah, no, he was very good in the air, very good out of play with from the line out. But then that's his specialist area. I don't know, the way that the both selections so far have played, it's almost as if they're trying to play themselves out of contention.
Nobody's
really put their hand up and said, I want to be a leader. I'm going to take this game by the scruff of the neck. I'm going to do the right things. It's just, it was mistake after mistake after poor decision after poor decision. It was just very poor.
Interesting to listen to O'Gara's comments in his interview after the match, where he said the team is suffering from a lack of confidence, which I was surprised to hear him say, you know, considering that what Kidney would come out with, you know, Driscoll, you know, where they're kind of saying, well, it's just, we won the match, we're happy to win the match and move on. You know, it's kind of the PR answer. But once again, O'Gara kind of showed a little bit of honesty in his...
Yeah, it was a typically forthright from O'Gara. That always strikes me as odd. And I perfectly accept it as the case. The players who show great confidence and display great confidence with Munster or Leinster or Ulster come into an Irish camp and suddenly seem confidence falls out the door. Now, I know that Ireland haven't played well for, you know, they didn't play particularly well last season. We haven't really played well since the South African game last season. So maybe there's an element of that, I don't know. But my hope is that they're playing within themselves because they're saving something for the All Blacks game. It's all we can cling to.
Yeah, well, we just have to hope that they don't want to show any of their fantastic backline moves.
Well, that's it, yeah. I hope they have a whole panoply of stuff ready to make Sonny Bill Williams look like Tennessee Williams.
Well, we'll see. So, you know, we leaked another very, very soft try. And, you know, it was quite clear that the defensive system, just they don't seem to have the confidence in it, and they certainly don't seem to be implementing it.
Well, what happened, the try was kind of... I looked at it, when you look at it again, you'll see that the out half kind of juggles the ball. And I think that sucks Paddy Wallace in.
Mm.
He sees the ball, that there's an opportunity for a turnover there, and kind of, you know, takes a step that direction, which then completely opens up the line.
Yeah, it was just kind of that pincer movement. Him and O'Gara went right, and they left a big hole in between themselves.
There is also the concern that, you know, inside centre and open side flanker do have to compensate a lot for
Ronan's defence.
For his technical deficiency. It's not a deficiency of courage or of effort. He puts himself in the way an awful lot.
Mm.
But he does have a technical deficiency there that's not going to be resolved at this stage in his career. But there is a sense that sometimes David Wallace, or whoever's playing open sides, generally David Wallace, and whoever's playing inside centre, sometimes they have to be ready. They have to be weighted on that foot to take that step inside in case it's needed, or outside in the case of the flanker. But in this case, I think Wallace was sucked in. You know, it was a bit of a rookie error. He was sucked in by a guy juggling a ball, and then of course that left the hole, and once that was open, you're not going to stop Alessandro Tuilagi from that range.
Unless you're Shane Horgan.
Well, Shane Horgan can try, but...
Yeah. So, I mean, and only 30,000 turned up. Like, we spoke about it last week at length. Just crazy pricing policy.
Yeah, well, that's it.
And when you compare it to, say, the FAI Cup final, which was on the day after, you know, there was 36,000 of that match, and they priced it where people could bring their kids along. I know they wouldn't have made anywhere near the amount of money that the IRFU would have made, but they still, it was a great PR exercise for them to get a big crowd in for their showpiece.
Well, that's it. I mean, the FAI have taken an awful lot of hits, all of them deserved over the Aviva. But at the end of it, they'll be able to say, hey, we had more people in for a game between Shamrock Rovers and Sligo Rovers the new head in for a game between Ireland and the world champions.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the reality of it. I mean, the game against Samoa was a 30 quid game. It wasn't a 50 quid game. You know, it was a, and I know that they're tied in by sponsorship to play in the Aviva, but that was it.
But that was an opportunity, wasn't it, to give loads and loads of cheap tickets to schoolboys, to clubs, to get, you know, people who mightn't be able to afford or mightn't be able to access tickets for, you know, say first class international matches. It was great. It would have been a great opportunity to bring people to their first, possibly their first international, or even people to that might just go with their friends, to bring their.
Well, that's it. Because they're tied to the Aviva, they should be using discount pricing to just fill the place. I mean, normally I'd say, okay, charge 30 quid, bring the game out to Thomond Park or to the RDS or to Ravenhill or somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, but we have to play it in the Aviva. So use discount pricing to fill the place. Give people, get people into the match, you know, that might be strangers to rugby, and give them a taste of the atmosphere and the sport.
Anyway, moving on to the All Blacks. I was going to take Matt Williams' advice and call them bloody New Zealanders. So that's the Euro into Vincent de Paul. Anyway, I mean, like, they brought Murphy back in, back into the squad. Cullen, I think, has been called up to hold some bags.
Yeah,
it's hard to know who's he going to pick.
I mean, well, I don't think anyone knows what his first choice 15. I don't think he knows himself, because every time he seems to be able to say, okay, so-and-so has done something for me for three games in a row, then he goes out and has a mare. You know, I don't think he has settled on his first 15. Bringing Murphy in, I know he's a very good footballer, but I think bringing Murphy in for one match, instead of having, say, Fionn Carr or even Johnny Murphy, who played very well against Australia the other night. But bringing Jordan Murphy in for one match and not having a younger player around the squad for the entire series, I think says something about the conservatism within the Irish coaching setup.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, if we do start with Sexton, you know, there's still definitely a role for O'Gara within the team. Even, you know, if you wanted to sort of go down the road of like what they do in baseball, you know, where they have a guy who comes in to close off the game. And if you needed somebody to steady the ship, or to, you know, if the game was still in the balance, you could bring on somebody with O'Gara's, you know, colossal amount of experience.
Well, that's it. I mean, tactical substitutions are a part of rugby now.
But not under this management.
Well, not under this management. But now that they are, if you have a 22 or a 23-man squad, as it is at club level, but the 22-man squad, then you should be looking to use as many of those as is appropriate. I mean, I don't think there's any reason why both your props should play 80 minutes, for example. You should be cycling them in and out.
But we've no props, because we don't even have Mike Ross, you know, who's... Well, the form prop, say, within the Irish squad. Not even in the squad.
Yeah.
You know?
But even the guys he has there, if you could say to Tony Buckley, go out there and give me... And bring him on for the last half hour and say, right, I want...
he's injured though, isn't he?
Well, he is, but I'm in theory. If you've got Tony Buckley or Tom Court or John Hayes starting, and you say to the guy who's on the bench for that position, right, you're going to be coming on the hour marker and the 50, so get yourself psyched up for half an hour, you know, of pure effort. And you say to the first guy, right, you're playing 50 minutes, so during that 50 minutes, I want you to flog yourself to death. Then you have that freshness coming through. And we've seen other teams do it. South Africa do it constantly.
Yeah.
And New Zealand do it. Australia do it. Everyone else does it, except seemingly us.
Yeah.
Because we just flog the guys to death out there. And what you're saying about baseball is very apt. Because in baseball, they realise, with pitchers, they realise that the game can change. And that you might need somebody who can close out a game. We don't think that way. We think, right, we make a substitution if a guy's playing poorly or if he's injured. And more likely if he's injured.
It's not a slight on the player coming in.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
I mean, it's a team effort. Yeah. It's a team game. And rugby is the epitome of a team sport, you know? Big, small, fast.
It shouldn't be about 1 to 15. It should be about 1 to 22. There should be no differentiation in either the players, the supporters, or the coach's mind, whether a guy's number 1 or number 22. That should be the team.
But are we going backwards? I mean, when you look at our two performances to date, and then you compare with Wales while they were beaten by South Africa, they played with such panache and flair, you know. England against Australia, even England against New Zealand, I mean, they put it up to them in the last 20 minutes. They almost came back, you know, but we just seem to be going backwards. I think we're nearly back with Scotland now.
I think that after Eddie O'Sullivan finished his time as Irish coach, the Irish players in the Irish squad had a need for redemption. And that... they exercised their demons through that Grand Slam win. I don't think that they've been motivated since to that level. I think we are back where we were during Eddie O'Sullivan's last season.
It's like a psychological thing.
I think it is. I think because we know
that
we
needed
players.
To win the Grand Slam because of all the near hits and near misses there in prior years. And that was a great motivating factor for them. But I haven't heard anything this year from the management at all, like, you know, to say, oh, well, we're going to win the World Cup. I'm not saying that we will, but they haven't said it. They haven't said, we're going to win the Grand Slam, or we're going to, you know, it seems to be, oh, if we can get 3 out of 4 wins in this, it's like going back to the old days.
Yeah.
Oh, we can win, we'll try and win our 2 home games in the Five Nations. Sure, that'll be grand.
Yeah, that's you see, and the thing is, you've got guys who are used to winning now at club level.
Yeah.
Or provincial level. And I can't see how that's acceptable to them, because it simply isn't. There is no way that a Paul O'Connell, a Ronan O'Gara, a Jamie Heaslip, or a Brian O'Driscoll would accept anything than going into every single match with the reasonable belief that they could win.
Yeah, well, anytime they run onto the pitch for their clubs, you know, they've a bloody good chance of winning that game.
Mm-hmm.
Should they, you know, between the two provinces, they've won 3 Heineken Cups in the last 4 years. I mean, these teams are winning teams, and they seem to put on the green jersey, and we just don't seem to have this mental attitude that we're going to go out there and win all our matches.
There's something at stake there. Maybe they should bring somebody in. Like Bernard Jackman talks in his book about Enda McNulty, who helped him and indeed a lot of the Leinster team in the run up to the Heineken Cup win. Maybe there's a cause for somebody who can help the team in that regard. I don't know. I'm not a specialist on that, but you know, something needs to be done because they look very, very flat.
Yeah.
And New Zealand, on the other hand, don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I read a quote from Mike Blair, the Scotland captain, at the weekend, and he basically said, well, I can't really say to the team that we're going to win this game, because in our heart of hearts we know that we're not. And that seems to be our attitude.
Yeah, and that's the wrong attitude to take for top-level guys.
Because you know, like, that when we ran onto the pitch against Saracens, or even Leicester in the final, or Munster in the Aviva earlier on this season, 1-23 in the squad did not go onto that pitch.
No, they knew beyond question that they could win.
Absolutely.
That they were going to
believe that they were going to win. And I bet you the Munster guys in the opposite dressing room thought the exact same thing.
Yeah, there's no... Those guys didn't get to the level that they're at without believing that they're going to win every game. So there's something there. New Zealand believe they're going to win every game. New Zealand can't accept a loss at all. They may be gone the other way. I mean, they couldn't accept the 1995 World Cup loss. Still haven't now. There were shenanigans there, but you know, they haven't accepted the losses in subsequent World Cups either.
Yeah, but you know, like in New Zealand,
but that's part of their ethos.
And it's the psyche within the country. Like the actual index of their shares in New Zealand dips, falls after a defeat.
Yeah, well, that's it. You see, and
when you go back,
they believe so innately in the ability of their rugby team to win, and the players in that team believe it as well. That any time that they don't win, then there has to be some nefarious external source that caused it. Now, maybe that's going too far the other way, but it's the right attitude to take on.
If you look at Australia, like Australia played New Zealand in Hong Kong a couple of weeks ago, and they'd been beaten 10 times on the trot. And basically the whole nation couldn't stomach another defeat to New Zealand. And they loaded the pressure onto the Aussies that they would not stand and they would not put up with a defeat. And that came through in the match.
Yeah. But then Australians, you know, they're not exactly lacking in self-confidence either.
No, they wouldn't
be the most shrinking of violets. But, and then again, their system is geared up to producing sportsmen who are capable of dealing with pressure anyway.
Absolutely. So anyway, let's park the international scene and get back to real rugby. We're playing the Dragons on Friday in the RDS.
Dragons are a better team than their recent league positions over the last couple of years have shown. They've operated on a very strict budget. I mean, they've had similar problems that Connacht have had, with similar talk of the region being closed down and rolled into another region. But, you know, on limited funds and with clever coaching from Paul Turner and Colin Travis and various others, they developed a lot of good players and they've managed to keep going, and they can be a very dangerous team.
But like, we're going to be missing 14 players.
Yeah, we're going to be missing an awful lot of players.
So we're basically playing our seconds and some of the thirds.
The thing that will stand in our favour is that our front row is pretty much intact.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Clint Newland.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this guy as well now.
I mean, I saw him. He was standing in front of us on the terrace there the other day in our last match. He looks like an animal of a fella.
Well, he looks like a big lad, all right. Hopefully he plays like he looks.
Yeah. I think he has the potential to be another Ali LaRue, like a cult hero.
A cult hero, yeah. Well,
once he gets his geography right.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. Welcome to the UK Magners League. Yeah, but well, Ollie earned his cult status, so he did, by dint of his effort on the pitch. So hopefully Clint will be the same. I hope for him that he becomes a cult hero, because that'll mean he'll have played well for Leinster. You know, we should have a strong enough front five. Depends on whether Leo has been called up to, whether he's part of the squad or just there holding tackle bags.
I don't know whether O'Donoghue's going to be back fit.
Yeah, he's... he's supposed to be back fit, so hopefully he will. Hopefully he'll be there.
Strauss is playing great at the moment.
Strauss was named Player of the Month yesterday, and well deserved. He has been one of our outstanding players this season. Be interesting to see how he goes. Back row will be interesting. We've got Dominic Ryan. We've Stephen Keogh.
Jennings Ruddock,
you know, we're strong enough there. From those four, and of course, the return of Sean Byrne as well as a bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we still have, you know, Nasiwa, who's been outstanding this season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not, and a Horgan, of course, is going to be there.
Might get another chance to see Andrew Conway in action.
Yeah, that would be, you know, I'm looking for, like, he's someone that, you know, I'd love to see get a bit more game time and really get his confidence up.
He's a player that excites the ground. Whenever he gets the ball, there's a frisson of excitement runs around the ground.
So, I mean, but like, you know, the Dragons are in seventh place. I think we're sixth. So they've won three, we've won four. So it's kind of, you know...
yeah, it's tight enough. They have a tight enough record. It's like I said, Dragons are a good side. They've had the same problems that Connacht have had, basically. But it hasn't stopped them, you know, throwing spanners into various works. And indeed, the best Magners League match I ever saw that we weren't involved in was Dragons against Clonetley a couple of years ago. And that
opened it up for us that season.
That's right, yeah. I think that was on St. Stephen's Day.
Something like that, yeah.
And it was a last-minute try by Dragons after a second last-minute try by Clonetley to win it. It was a fantastic match.
I think Turner was pulling his hair because they had an opportunity to go for
sticks. Yeah, they did.
And they didn't. They ran it. And you can see him. He was shouting at them, take your points, take your points.
No, so... but Turner's always been... I remember him as a player at Bedford. I don't know if you remember him back in the early days of pro rugby.
Yeah.
And he went into coaching. And when he was a player, he was renowned as a guy who ran a back line and got it moving, played a very exciting brand of rugby. But, you know, he's tried to do the same on limited resources with Dragons. Hopefully, we'll be a bit too strong for them in the front five, I think.
Yeah.
But if it comes down to a running game, it could go either way. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can hope for is that, you know, our crowd will start getting behind us and give us that home, you know, the fortress RDS kind of thing. And
yeah, well, we should have a good crowd out. I mean, it's always difficult. It's the day before a big international match, so it's going to be tricky to get numbers out. But I think we'll get it. We'll get the core 12,000-13,000 out anyway, and then anything on top of that is a bonus.
Exactly. I read there recently that we've got 30,000 sold.
32,000 so far. Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's looking like we might outsell Ireland versus South Africa. Mm. Of course, we're not charging crazy money for our tickets, but it's fantastic. I mean, if it goes, we should hit the 40,000, which would be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all we have time for today. So thanks a million for watching, and hopefully we'll get a couple of good results at the weekend. Cheers.